Amen. It's an honor to stand up here because I have known this man for 30 years, right? I can remember I was the best man at his wedding. I remember him sitting in my basement on a couch telling me that they were expecting their first child together. I remember Kenny did his first teaching at my home meeting. And we won't talk about that, will we? Yes, we're not going to talk about that. That's a story. If you want to know, ask Kenny. Amen? But Amen. Listen, this is an honor and a privilege. Don't take it for granted that God placed a man like this in our midst. This is a man that takes the word seriously. Not only speaking, but walking it out as well. It's an honor to have him up here speaking. Right, Pastor? Our pastor does not turn the pulpit over to anybody. This is a man over the years that's been tested and proved true. Amen? Join me in praying for him. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this man that you've placed in our body. As far as he's come, Father, we know that you're going to take him even farther. I pray that it be his mouth, but your voice. His emotions, but your heart, Father God. And Lord, just let all of this come into us and travel down to our feet, Father God, so we can walk out what you're asking us to do this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Today's message I entitled, If Not Now, When? Be afraid. If not now, when? I need 12 able-bodied men up front here. 12. Tony, you're one, right? Come on, Tony. Now, I start picking people out. Fred, come up with Tony. All right, Donovan. Shane. That's a given. Come on, Shane. Ed. Joe. How many we got? 4, 5, 6, 7. I need 5 more. Tyler, Kevin. Kevin, come up with your son. All right, count them off. What do we got? We got John. Here we go. 11. Is that 12? All right, Jesse. I got something for you still. All right, in this room over here to the right, there's some stuff on the floor. Jesse will direct you to it. Jesse, if you can bring me my bag. These guys can each carry out one or the other. All right, follow Jesse. I like it when people have to work in my message. You got to work. You guys don't get to sit in a pew and fall asleep. All right? It's called not just listening to my message, but doing my message. It's putting my message into action. And like I tell my wife, and I repeated it to her this morning, if I got to get out of the boat, everybody getting out. Yep, nobody going to be sitting in the boat. Hey, look, yeah, there you go. I like that. You're smart. What wisdom right there. You picked the smaller one. All right, if we can lay them right in here in front in the pulpit, just stack them up. Stack them up. This. There we go. Look at that. Leadership in action already. Put the big ones on the bottom. All right, for the message's purposes, what they're carrying out of the room, it's stones. 12 stones. Does that have any significance? 12 tribes of Israel. There you go, Shane. Brings back memories, doesn't it? Brings back memories. All right, gentlemen, I appreciate it. You guys can sit down for now. I will need them put back at my house later. It is always good to have men in the body. And my wife says, you're talking about if not now, when? My son had taken off the morning, so none of this stuff is removed. He wanted me to trip, fall. Right? And what I'm talking about this morning is procrastination. She goes, well, what do these 12 stones have to do with procrastination? I said, well, absolutely nothing. I said, but it's something we're not going to forget because it's a memorial. God used 12 stones to set up a memorial that we would not forget, that our children would not forget what it is that God has done. And you were part of that. Today it's a memorial because with this teaching on procrastination is not something that all of us don't do. All of us procrastinate in one way or another. But today's the end of that. Today we're setting up a memorial because we're going to cross over into what God has for us. He's given us an inheritance, and we're going to cross over into that inheritance. Today is a special day. You guys didn't even know it. Like I said last week, you came here thinking that this is going to be the same old, do some songs, do church, go home. But in reality, in the heavenlies, in the spiritual, today's a special day. God may have told some of you, but he may not have told all of you. But all of you are here. And you need to realize that today's a special day. One of the things that we have a tendency to do, and I believe this is something that's not just an individual thing, but I believe it happens in our country. It's been happening. That was what my son brought up. This is my other prop. I can handle this one. It's not too heavy. We have a tendency to kick the can down the road. Isn't that what the Israelites did? They kicked the can down the road. They had an opportunity to go into the promised land to receive the inheritance that God had for them. And as the adults of the community, as supposedly the mature ones of the community, they walked in unbelief and fear, and they did not go in. They kicked the can down the road for their kids. And that's something that never settled with me. Kicking the can down the road so that our kids have to deal with the issues. Right? It's something that we just did. Yes, Pastor John? It's very typical. Like I said, it's not just, it's a countrywide thing. It's a spirit that operates in this country of kicking that can down the road. We just kicked the can down the road again. We're doing tax cuts. Everybody loves tax cuts. At the cost of what? Of the debt going up and your kids going in more debt. Donovan, how many kids you have? You need more because each one owes $175,000. They haven't even went to college yet. $175,000, they put our kids in debt if they would have to pay off that debt. So that we could what? Live comfortably? So that we don't have to deal with the issues? We don't have to bite the bullet so that we can live in the land of plenty? They passed it on to our kids, and that's something that doesn't sit well with me. You know, when they had the stimulus package, I'm like, are you kidding me? Yes, it's awesome that I get all this money to fix up the building and do everything that I need to do, but at the cost of my kids having to pay for that. They are actually stealing our kids' future. Stealing it. And we're blind to that. We let it happen. They kicked the can down the road again for health care. They will not deal with the issues at hand. And it drives me crazy. We all have that tendency to kick the can down the road. I had a captive audience. My wife is captive at Beaumont Hospital. They're holding a captive. Hopefully she'll get to come home today. But I had a captive audience. I figured I'd preach to the nurses' aides, all of them, even those that came to visit, right, Kim? Kim came to visit. I had to preach to her, right, the kids, right? The one nurse, she brought her back after her procedure. Was it Saturday night? Yeah, I think it was Saturday night, and Jesse and Taylor was there, and she's, oh, look, there's my baby boy. She's in the hallway all, you know, drugged up and stuff. And my baby boy, oh, that's his fiance. And the girl's fixing the bed and whatnot. She gets it all. Is that Susie out there? And she knew her as Debbie, so she says, Susie? She says, yeah. She thought she was putting the patient in the wrong room. She grabbed her paperwork, said, that's not funny. I said, you won't do that again, will you? So what do we kick down the road? I talked to Taylor. Taylor says that she was able to overcome her procrastination, at least in this one particular area. She says, I used to kick down the road my homework, but I just quit school. I'm out. I graduated. I don't have to do it. I know not to go back because I'll just procrastinate my homework and not do it. Ask my son, Jesse. And I said, would you kick down the road? Now, although he does it, he wishes he could kick it down the road. He feels like kicking it down the road, but he does it, and that's his chores. He's got a lot of chores, and more so now that his mom has been in recovery. I think she plans on staying there. She's going to retire, so Jesse has to do all the chores. Right? But he says, I wish that I could kick that down the road and not do all the chores. I said, yeah, your mom's been doing that for 30-some years. How long have you been doing it, Jesse? 18 days? Yeah, you had to pick up some slack? I picked up the slack. I haven't had to tell Jesse to do stuff in 18 days. Right? I said, Jesse, you got to fill in the slack. Right? Now, Shane, on the other hand, I have Shane and Joshua as my oldest. And in their younger years, they would procrastinate. You know, and they just seemed like they would put things off. Up until they got a house. Thank you, Bob. Up until they got a house. When they got a house, all of a sudden they decided they did not want to procrastinate. Any little thing break, Dad, when you coming over? I need you over here right now. I'm like, what happened to this procrastination when it came to doing stuff? Oh, no, you don't understand. I'm married and I got a wife and this honey-do list needs to stay down, down. When you coming over? So they refused to procrastinate. And what I wanted to say, what I felt like saying, sorry, son, I'm playing video games. He says, you never played video games. I took it up as soon as you bought a house. You can kick that down the road, right, Shane? So I have Shane, Joshua, and Amanda all have houses. And I think Amanda thought she'd be smart to get the most out of me. She tore all our stuff up all at once. Tore it up. She didn't want to do one project. Dad, I got it all tore up, though. Mine looks the worst right now. You got to come and help me. You know? And then she held my tools captive in her garage so that the other two brothers can't get nothing done. Right? So we have this tendency to kick this can down the road. I think it's a spirit that needs to be broken. It's a spirit that operates in a subtlety. And it operates in all of us, at no matter what age, no matter what background. I was looking up procrastination. They talked about structured procrastination. That you could be very busy, but procrastinate. People say, well, they don't procrastinate. They're really busy. Right? Can we be very busy yet procrastinate? Is there something that we don't want to do? Kim, right? Paperwork. That was hers. She wanted to kick the paperwork down the aisle. My wife, hers is taxes. She doesn't like doing the taxes at the church. So, like most procrastinators, they wait to the last minute. They wait for that deadline. And then at that point, okay, here they are. Couldn't see them up there. They wait for that deadline. Then they begin to do it. That deadline, it comes, but then all of a sudden something happens. Fred, something happens. You got that deadline, you're like, well, I got all week to teach. And Fred gets sick. He's like, oh, man, I don't feel good. This is not good. Right? And he's like, yeah, but at least I got Saturday. Then he gets a call. Fred, you're working Saturday. That was some of your best teaching, brother. Maybe you should procrastinate more. What happens is that you definitely find yourself in that position crying out to God. Esther cried out to God all morning. And you're dependent upon God to give you the word. Definition of procrastination. Putting off, confronting a difficult issue, or making an important decision, typically on a continuing basis. God warns us in James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. It tells us that if we hear a word from God, from Scripture, from the Holy Spirit, or someone giving sound teaching, but fail to act on it, we have actually deceived ourselves. The proof that we believe something isn't when we agree with what someone teaches us, it's when we act upon it. We can agree all day long. Say, well, yeah, I believe that. But it's when you act upon it. You have to act upon it. Amen? And Joshua, this is one of my favorite accounts of history. how one can come out of slavery after 400 years, right, and wander in the desert. What would have been a short journey, a two-week journey, 11 days, 14 days, right? A short journey into the promised land, 40 years. We can procrastinate at a particular thing, a particular task, a particular thing that God may be asking us to do, asking us not to do, for years. We can be putting that off, kicking it down the road, making excuses for that. That's what the Israelites did. They had giants in the land. They had a bad report that there was giants in the land. And when I think of procrastination, one would think of that as a giant. It seems to be running rampant. It seems like it's something that ensnares all of us at some time or another. But is it? Is it really that big that we can't begin to tackle it? Now, for the Israelites to go into the promised land, the one thing they had to do was be obedient. But what did that mean? Donovan, come on up front. We'll make it easy on you. Here's our memorial. If I asked Donovan to make it to the back, to that altar back there, you think there'd be any issues? Yeah. You think it'd be difficult?
Right now?
I think all right. Those 11 other people I had come up front, can you stand in the aisle? Come on, stand up in the aisle. We don't want to make this easy on Donovan, do we? I want him to be obedient, but I didn't want to make it easy on him. All right, and you guys are charged with definitely not allowing Donovan to the back of that altar. I don't care what it takes. See, the anointing of David has come upon him. He sees giants. He says, all I see is stones, and I see people standing against God's anointed. Amen? So you think there'd be any more difficulty getting back there? Yeah? See, the look at his face is a little different now. I think he's got a little glimmer like, yeah, but it's not impossible. I feel bad for them. Especially that young man in the back that tries to grow a beard. No? But that's what it would look like. Right? And that's what they seen was a bad report that they couldn't do it. They didn't see that God was for him. We just got a good report from Donovan and God being for him last week. Increase. Promotion. Well, that's not just increase for Donovan, that's increase for his wife. For his kids, his daughters being blessed, there's increase being given there and even more opportunity. It's not just Donovan, it's Donovan's household. It's all those that Donovan influences. It's an anointing that flows. You guys don't stand a chance. You might as well sit down. Sit down. Thank you, Donovan. You guys really wouldn't have stood a chance because God is for Donovan. Well, God is for us, is he not? Seriously, he is for us. But see, for Donovan to be obedient, he would have had to fight to gain the inheritance to get to where it is that God called him to be. It wouldn't have came easy, but he would have had to fight for it. If need be, Donovan was willing to perish. He would perish in the attempt. If he was anything like me, he'd be like, all right. Pastor John, Bob, the rest of you that didn't stand, I need you to be Jim. Look at Jim. Jim would intimidate anybody with his glasses alone. Right? You start calling up those that you know. You know? You start bringing a unity to the situation. That it's not just Donovan that's going to fight. It wasn't just going to be Joshua and Caleb going in. It was going to be the whole community going in. We're not happy with this issue and overcoming this issue if it's only one person that's going to get the victory. This is a victory that's to be had for this body, for these people here, for you. It's a corporate victory. It's not an individual victory. Right, Bobby? It's not dependent upon Bobby bringing the victory to us by himself. He's not going to have to shoulder that by himself. We will stand with him in this fight. We will stand with each and every one of you in this fight. And that's the unity of it. God's word talks about a unity, a coming together. Two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst. How many here would like to see the procrastination come to an end? In one area, if not all areas, but at least in one area, in one thing that God's asked you to do, in one thing that God's asked you not to do. I want to see this come to an end. I want to see the glory of God. I want to hear about the glory of God in other people's lives and the victory and what he's given and done for them. This is an opportunity God's making available to us to continue to walk and fight for that inheritance that he's given us. Amen? Like I said, procrastination is to put off intentionally and habitually. It says, procrastination is the practice of carrying out less urgent tasks in preference to more urgent ones, or doing more pleasurable things in place of less pleasurable ones, and thus putting off the impeding tasks to a later time. How many of us have ever done that? And not even thought nothing of it. Because we always got tomorrow. We can do that later. No, delayed obedience is actually disobedience. I didn't like hearing that. Like, delayed obedience is actually disobedience. That would make me more disobedient than I thought, than I wanted to think of. That I would have to act promptly. It talks about when you go to forgive your brothers, do it quickly. Don't let the sun go down. Resolve these issues quickly. Take care of business quickly. Amen? We should be taking care of this quickly. Procrastination is the gap between intention and action. Man, if only we were judged by your intention. It's easy to have good intentions, but to back that up with action, to actually have substance with that, to back it up, to be, as they say, a man or a woman of your word. And I talked about a word. We talked about Pastor John and Pastor Don making a vow to be the last two standing if need be. Now it talks about if you make a vow with God, be quick to fulfill it. You know? This is something that sphere wants all of us to struggle with in one way or another. And it's something, as Fred talked about this morning, it may be a weakness that we have. That we're not going to boast about it, you know. We're kind of like, I just never take care of that. I need to take care of that, but I just don't do it. I can't believe I did it again. I'm still not taking care of those issues. Keep putting them off. Talks about as, you know, as a parent, dally, don't dilly-dally, right, Shane? Dawdle, don't dawdle. See, as parents, we like these words. We use them all the time on our kids, not realizing that this is the same thing we do as God's kids. You know, we don't procrastinate. We'll defer things. We're going to have to defer that, you know. Let's in council meetings, well, we're going to table that for a later date. And yeah, we'll table that for a later date. Deal with it later instead of dealing with it now. We'll drag that out. You know, I'm trying to drag this message out. I was done 20 minutes ago. Right? I got 10 more minutes. The antonyms of procrastinate would be to advance. God wants to advance his kingdom. His kingdom consists of us. He wants us to advance, to take ground, to take back what the enemy has stolen. You know? And some things might not seem as serious as others, but then there's things that the enemy has stolen from us that are very serious. Literally stolen from us. As I tell my son Shane, when the little ones are up here, I said, it concerns me that the enemy has already tried to plan and make plans to steal these little ones. I don't know about you, I just won't stand for it. None of them. And it would not be on them to turn around and learn how to stand, learn how to fight, especially if I'm just going to be lazy or spend my time doing things that are more pleasurable than fighting for them, praying for them, ministering to them, meeting them on their needs, befriending them, ministering to them, mentoring them. There's a lot of work to be done in the kingdom. It says that the workmen are few. It's work. You know, the one thing I admire about this church is that we roll up our sleeves to do the work. And guess what? Sometimes it's a thankless job in a sense. You don't get the appreciation that you think you would deserve or need. God is thankful. Always has been and always will be. To carry out, to complete, to continue, to do, to expedite, to finish, to forge, to forward, to further, to go, to hasten, to help, to hurry, to lead, to persist, to push through. We're going to have to push through and fight for that. And name what it is that you're fighting for. We're going to have to rush, shorten, accelerate, go ahead and quicken. I always like the word double down. It's time to double down. Amen? Yeah, the Bible gives us five actions we can take to stop procrastinating. These are very, very hard to do. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. The lazy person claims there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might get killed. Right? What you've been saying you're going to do one of these days, what you do make excuses about, number one excuse I hear is when things settle down, then I'm going to do it. Things are never going to settle down. This is it. They're not going to settle down. You must make a choice to prioritize what's important. Even you young people, prioritize what's important. What is important? And don't base it on feelings. Base it on the word. Base it on the word. Another one that's really difficult to do is that start today. Start today. Not next month, not next week, not tomorrow. Never boast about tomorrow. You don't know what will happen now and then. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. So if we're to do this, we're to start today. Does that sound like sound teaching? Uh-oh. Remember what I said at the beginning. If you hear sound teaching and do not act upon it, start today. Number three, establish a planned schedule. This is one that I would always, always reiterate in my house. Fill out your schedule. If not, I can. My kids would fill stuff out. They'd make stuff up as long as it showed their calendar full. Because they knew Dad was going to fill it up if they didn't. I said, what are you doing 2 weeks from now? I don't know. I said, well, I do. You know? And like all of us, they want to leave that day open. Not that they don't want to do what you're asking. But if something better comes along, something more pleasurable, they're like, well, I'm sorry. You know I said I'd do that, but this came up. So they always want to leave that gap. We have that tendency to want to leave that gap in case something better comes along. Instead of, you know what? Is there something better than making a commitment and sticking to it? Because if not, something better is always going to come along so that you don't do the thing that you said that you were going to do. And it's about a character issue. It says, every wise person acts with good sense, but fools show how foolish they are. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. You need to designate some specific time slots each week for the things you do. Whatever it is, put it on a calendar. If it's a big task, break it down to small pieces. Break it into bite-sized pieces. it's a big task, you break it down so that it can be handled. Number four. Now, this is one that may be very difficult to do. Face your fears. It says, we hate to admit that we have fears because we think they're a sign of weakness. But fear is a sign of humanity. Only fools are not afraid. You've heard it said, courage is not the absence of fear, it's the moving ahead in spite of our fears. The Bible says there's nothing you cannot master with the help of Christ who gives you strength. Sometimes we don't do the very thing that we need to do because we're afraid. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of how we're going to sound when we have to get up here and teach. Are we going to make sense? That fear has a tendency to want to come in and keep us from our destiny. Make no mistake, that fear will rob you of your destiny, of your inheritance. And make no mistake, God has something good, as we sang, because he's a good, good father for each and every one of us. I don't know about you, but I want it. And I'll fight for it and die trying to get it. It's worthwhile. There's no better life here on earth than do that very thing. Number five. Although this Shane, Jesse, where's Miguel? Miguel in here? He left? I have a new love for Miguel. Because he's taken my two boys to the gym and he puts them through the ringer. I'm like, that's Miguel. I love him. I pray for him more and more. Right? Focus on what you gain, not the pain, is all I can tell my sons. Focus on what you gain, not the pain. There are very few things in this life that are easy. Must push through the frustration and look at the gain beyond the pain. Concentrate on how good you're going to feel once you finish the task. Galatians 6:9 says, so let not get tired doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Jesus never said life would be easy. There will be sacrifice and commitment. But if there's tremendous reward when we do the things he calls us to do, talk about it. Don't ask, what do I feel like doing? That's the easy path. What do you feel like doing? How many here already knew or thought they knew, well, when I get out of church, this is what I feel like doing. I feel like going home, turning the TV on, and just relaxing, and I'm not going to think about nothing. I'm going to veg out. I'm going to rest. Does that or has that really brought you rest? Has it brought you rest? No. Okay. They lead you to believe that it does because they call Bob's chair, he's the one that originated, the lazy boy chair. And it hasn't worked. If you don't believe me, just ask Sharon. He has not rested enough to finish all the things that she's planned for him. Right? Don't ask what do I feel like doing. Instead, ask, what does God want me to do? I want you to write down three things. You know what God wants you to do. One item in each of these three areas. Your family, your personal life, your career. Choose one of these three and start today. Even if you can only work on your goal for 15 minutes a day, do it. You'll feel so much better. One of the tasks that I was needing to do was to learn how to do air conditioning. The gentleman that had done it for our particular complex had transferred. I definitely had an indication because the transfer happened in the wintertime. I knew when spring was coming that this would take place. So I waited till spring. No. I knew that it was going to happen, so I began going on YouTube. And what I did, and this is something I recommend all these young people do, the old people can do it too, is that supper time, when I'd sit down to eat, I'd turn on YouTube, and I would watch YouTube videos on air conditioning. Over and over. Right, Jesse? And over and over. I'd get confirmation. No, Fred, the internet does not lie all the time. Now, granted, I got to say that some of the air conditioners I worked on, I did replace that new motor after I put it in. And then I rewatched the video and said, oops, I guess I shouldn't have done that. We won't do that again. So I did make some mistakes even, but it was a hands-on action that I put myself out there, and I did fail. But I didn't continue to fail because I continued to push through and persistent. I remember when the gentleman that done all our air conditioning, he kind of thought more highly of himself than he probably ought to have. He had come back, and he says, well, who's doing your air conditioning? They used to call him. He'd have to come back and do something, and they hadn't called him all summer. And I said, well, I have. And he knew then that he was expendable because he wasn't the only one that could do that particular task. You know? And what I did is I didn't want to be expendable, but I did begin to teach anybody that wanted to learn on my staff. What I found interesting is that none of them wanted to sit at home on their own time and do what I did. They wanted it to fall in their lap. Guess what? God's not going to do that for you. It's not going to fall in your lap. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to turn around and put the time in. Easy as that. You're going to have to put the time in. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to commit to it when you don't want to. When you don't feel like it, know your weakness. There's many a times I didn't feel like it, but I did it anyhow. Unfortunately, there's a saying out there by Nike that says, just do it. Just do it. Everybody knows that, right? Well, I looked it up because I wanted to know where it came from. I was kind of bummed that I looked it up, though. Because in reality, the marketing person that came up with the just do it had recently read a gentleman that had murdered two people and was going to be executed by gun. And it came from his last request. They said, you got any last words? He says, let's just do this. And that's where just do it came in. So I'm never buying a pair of Nikes again. But he realized, there's nothing I can do. I need to just do it. There's not an easy way. It's not going to fall on your lap. Moving forward, taking ground, getting that blessing that Bob talked about, you're going to have to fight for that. It's a given that it's there. It's being held for you in escrow, as it would say, but you got to go get it. And I think it's easier to go get it as a group. So when I'm not feeling it, Donovan is. And we lock arms and we go get this as a group. We go get this as a church. You guys with me? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this memorial. I thank you for what you're doing here today, Lord God. I thank you that you're not just wanting to do it in our individual lives, but you want to do it in our corporate lives, Father God. That as a body of believers, Father God, there are those that are out there that should be here. Loved ones of ours, Lord God, should be here, Lord God. And Father, just as Joshua crossed over that Jordan, Father God, the first battle was fought by you in prayer. One of the things that we have is that for those of us that procrastinated going to intercessory prayer because it was in the evening, well, it's now in the morning, Sunday morning, 8:30 up in the junior youth room. It begins with prayer. It begins with being quiet before God, listening for his voice, listening for his direction, and then acting upon that in his time. Father, I pray that we would have a newfound vision, Father God, of your building of your kingdom here in this downriver area, Father God, and that we would say, what can I do? What do you want me doing, Lord? Not what I feel like doing, but what do you want me doing? And then you teach us, Father God, how to do it, how to accomplish it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ooh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are.